I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show.
Temp this morning, I've got 60 right now at your severe weather station, News Radio, WTAM 1100. How about last night,
the
huh?
The big man awaits the 2-2. Here it comes. And he swings and drives a fastball high and deep to center. At the wall, Senzel leaps, but it's gone. And the Indians have the lead, 3-2 on the first home. Make that 4-2 on the first home run of the season by Franmil Reyes.
Scott Scuderings, producer extraordinaire, putting a few highlights up of finally an Indians win, right?
Absolutely. And they needed this. They needed all the cylinders to click and even got hand involved and give the Reds a 4-2 loss. Now it's time to play those Reds again here at Progressive Field.
Mike's got more on the game coming up in sports. Mike Clevenger, I think, on the mound tonight. Boy, tragedy yesterday. Beirut.
Oh, my gosh.
Explosion. My goodness.
That looked like a nuclear mushroom cloud. Yeah. When you watch the different angles of this explosion and you see the video, I mean, literally, it looks like you're watching a movie with a nuclear explosion.
Wills Insider Facebook, willsinsider.com. See that. I've seen the death toll anywhere from 35 to maybe 100 people possibly killed
sad.
That yesterday.
All right. Sad.
You think it's too early?
Well, wait a minute. August, you start bringing out the pumpkins.
It's too early?
You start, you know, you start getting Halloween ready in August, right? Nah, let's go for it.
Here we go.
Calling all cars. Man trying to enter an office building on 4th and Main with no mask. Repeat, no mask.
I walk into my job late last week when my co-workers all began to freak. They started cursing and began to shout and said quite rudely as the boss threw me out.
You need a mask.
I need a COVID mask.
A COVID mask.
It seemed a lot to ask.
To wear a mask.
To do a simple task.
Put on a mask.
I need a COVID mask. Made it mandatory almost every place that we can't be seen unless we hide our face. I can't even leave my humble abode without something covering my mouth and ass.
To wear a mask.
Can't even mow my grass.
Without a mask.
Without a COVID mask. This mask wearing isn't fun. And the snitching has now begun. My neighbor called the hotline, 'cause my dog wasn't wearing one. Walking through the mall, a woman's voice did ring. Seems she was troubled by just one thing. She pointed to the door, shook her fist, and said,
"What are you trying to do, you jerk? Make everybody sick?"
Forgot his mask.
Forgot my COVID mask.
His COVID mask.
Nobody gets a pass.
That stupid mask.
Can't even pump my gas.
Without a mask.
Without a COVID mask. Honey, I'm home.
What do you want?
I need to come in and get my mask.
Where are Daddy in the house, Mommy? He's been wearing his mask.
No mask, no entry. Sorry.
But, honey.
You should have taken it with you. You're not getting in the town.
Might be too early. I don't know. Might be too early. That's pretty good, though.
I love it. That's great.
That's up there, too, for you as well. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Take a listen and share, right?
Yes. Good COVID stuff. Mask.
Scott Scooter, L.A. Reese. Thanks, partner. Coming up in 5, we'll talk election. Political analyst Alex Castellanos on how close Biden is to a possible running mate. He's doing virtual meetings around Ohio this week. President Trump here tomorrow for a fundraiser. He's going to be on with Geraldo, too, tomorrow morning. More with Alex Castellanos coming up in 5 on News Radio, WTAM 1100. 5:15, let's get to sports from the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk. Mike Snyder.
All right, Bill, it was looking like another one of those nights for the slumping Tribe, trailing 2-0, entering the seventh inning when the Indians got a few breaks and they capitalized. They scored 2 runs in the seventh on the benefit of a Reds error and 3 walks. They got 1 infield hit to tie the game, and then in the eighth with the game tied at 2.
The big man awaits the 2-2. Here it comes. And he swings and drives a fastball high and deep to center. At the wall, Senzel leaps, but it's gone. And the Indians have the lead, 3-2 on the first home. Make that 4-2 on the first home run of the season by Franmil Reyes.
And the Indians were able to go on and win another great start from Shane Bieber and the bullpen getting it done, James Karinchak. And how about Brad Hand, a 1-2-3 ninth for the save. Tribe wins it 4-2. Bieber goes 7 2/3, strikes out 8. He's now 3-0.
We were able to kind of right the ship a little bit today, and that was a fun way to do it with Franmil coming up huge late in the game. I know we were frustrated as a team early on in the game for a lot of different reasons, but it was nice to see everybody kind of, you know, stay strong and pull through together at the end.
So the scene now shifts to Progressive Field for games tonight and tomorrow, 7-10 tonight. We'll have it for you right here as Mike Clevenger takes the mound. Indians manager Terry Francona continues to undergo medical tests for a gastrointestinal issue. Team president Chris Antonetti says Tito is not hospitalized. He also goes on to say, Chris says that he doesn't know when Tito will be back, but he doesn't believe that he will be away from the team for a long time. Sandy Alomar has been serving as the acting manager. Indians now 6-6. I mentioned that. The Marlins returned yesterday finally. They beat the Orioles 4-0. That was just their fourth game. What a crazy year. Team rosters will be reduced from 30 to 28, and then we'll stay at 28 for the rest of the season. Originally, the plan was to drop it to 26. You know, they're just going along, taking this as they go. So is the NFL. Browns GM Andrew Berry, speaking to the media yesterday, says he feels good about the way the Browns are set up to try to navigate through COVID-19 as training camp continues. Berry also, in a video call with reporters, says he's been impressed with Baker Mayfield, not only in Baker's mental state approaching this year, but he says Baker returned with an added 4 pounds of lean mass, cut body fat, and is in great shape. Berry also says Odell Beckham Jr. has been doing everything that's been asked of him, and David Njoku, who did surprise him when he did ask for a trade at one point, but now they've met with Njoku, and Njoku seems to be all in terms of contributing to the Browns this year. Hockey last night, Blue Jackets fell to Toronto, 3-0, series tied, one aside. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder.
Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
Political analyst Alex Castellanos joins me. Let's talk about the noise around mail-in voting first. It seems to me like chaos. Both sides kind of want to doubt the whole process just in case they lose.
That's pretty much the story. But actually, Democrats have an advantage here. If they take the voting process out of the voting booth, where you have poll watchers, where you have to go in and actually make an effort, because low turnout groups, i.e. minorities, young people, vote more when you have a mail election than a go-to-the-polls election. And the other thing that's really important is we're not talking about absentee ballots now. We're talking about not a process where you have to request a ballot, it's sent to your home, you fill it out, and you return it. No, we're talking about flooding the electorate and sending every registered voter a ballot, whether they ask for it or not. It shows up. So all of a sudden, we're talking about the postal system and ballots lying around everywhere, and you might have gone to prison, but you get a ballot in your home, or you get a batch of people at a nursing home filling them all out for people. You have ballot harvesting. There are real concerns about security once you take the voting process out of the ballot booth.
Yeah, it is amazing. Some of these states are just going to, you know, take a list and just mail them a ballot. Here in Ohio, at least you have to request one, so we try and have some checks and balances. Let me go into election night. I mean, let's talk about Ohio and some of these other states. They were close last time. You know, Trump, Biden, they got to win these for the Electoral College. You and I could talk the next morning. You still don't know because, hey, Bill, we still got to count all these mail-in votes, right?
That's exactly right. States have different rules. In some states, hey, we can count ballots up to 7 or 8 days after the election. And New York just had a mail-in election for a few congressional seats. It's 6 weeks later, and they still haven't agreed on who won for 2 seats. So, yes, we're not going to know the winner of the presidential election night. That's my prediction. If it's a close election, if it's not a blowout, We're not going to know election. Last time, this election was decided by 77,000 votes in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. If it's that close this time, we may not know who's president of the United States for a long, long time.
Let me get you out here on the campaign. The two, President Trump in town this week for a fundraiser. Vice President Joe Biden's doing these virtual things around Ohio. And he says he's close, I guess, to naming a running mate. The question is who she is and if she can really energize the Biden ticket?
That's right. President-to-be Joe Biden says he's so close to picking a vice presidential running mate that he can sniff her.
Well,
just a joke there.
Yeah.
But no, by August 10th, he's going to announce who it is. I think his front runner is Susan Rice. She's Obama. The Benghazi scandal's already built into her stock price. His base, which is already voting for him, hates her, but so what? And she's been tested and vetted nationally. The others are unknown. And Karen Bass, one of the new contenders, Congresswoman from California, guess what? She's too close to Fidel Castro and might cost Biden Florida.
Good take. Political analyst Alex Castellanos. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Right back at Progressive Field tonight after a couple of games in Cincinnati. Reds will be here with them tonight. Clevenger on the mound. 4-2 win last night. Mike Snyder Sports coming up on WTAM 1100.
The American people, in the end, need help. And wherever this thing settles between the President of the United States and his team that have to sign it into law, and the Democrat, not insignificant minority in the Senate and majority in the House, is something I'm prepared to support, even if I have some problems with certain parts of it.
Senator Mitch McConnell leads the Senate. Let's bring in Michael Bauer on this. So he's kind of watching these negotiations, huh?
Yeah, it would seem that that's the case. I mean, even though you've got technically Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer involved in it, and he technically has been on the sidelines talking about how there needed to be, you know, Democratic movement and that the Democrats have been holding this thing up. And he'd been sort of, you know, being the color commentary, if you will, from the Republican leadership in the Senate on this. But now it seems as though he's changing his tune. And now it would at least seem it's may have taken a week plus to get to this point on some level, Bill, but it looks as though everybody involved, White House negotiators as well as Democratic negotiators, are all understanding that there is a new finalized, if you will, direction they're going. Now, does that mean they're any closer? No. In fact, they're kind of at the exact same place, but they are creating a deadline, and they are saying that they are going to have to finalize the details of this new coronavirus relief package by the end of this week. So that legislation, which is, we know, going to address the unemployment benefits, which they can't agree upon at this point, also includes the fact that the Paycheck Protection Program is going to stop giving out loans this weekend if Congress doesn't pass an extension. So that's another element that's putting pressure on Congress here, so much so that they realized, and I can't believe it took them this long to do so, but they realized that their August recess they've got coming up here in the Senate is going to be put on hold now, because it doesn't look good for them to be leaving during a time when the American people need them the most to come up with some sort of legislation. So it looks like the August recess is being put on hold for now. No idea as to how long this is going to take, but they still are at very big odds in regards to the package that they're going to be putting together. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't get anything on paper and ready to vote on until next week, but they're swearing something will be coming up by Friday.
So one of the other holdups is just how long you extend this, because, you know, you look at the calendar, right? December, Christmas time, January, how long do you extend it before you look at it again, too?
Yeah, and that's part of the big question. Yeah. Obviously, now you're looking at a two-week delay for the unemployment portion of things, and what are you going to do there? Where you had at one point in time seen Republicans may have offered a four-month extension, now that seems to be 2 weeks of that's eaten up, so you could legitimately say that might move into a three-month offer here.
Right.
We know the Democrats are looking to get it done into the first quarter of next year, because we don't know what's going to happen there. So there's still that. Postal Service, elections, state and local money, all of those things are still up for argument and debate here over the next couple of days, and it's unclear how they're going to get to a decision by Friday.
Michael Bauer, next round of stimulus negotiations continue in D.C. Michael, thanks much. The Office, a little news for you this morning. If you're a fan of The Office, you get a treat. The sitcom moves to the Peacock streaming in January. You'll be able to access never-before-seen content when it relaunches on NBC's new streaming platform. Stuff from The Office that you never saw. My daughter, Serena, loves The Office. probably get that streaming service, too. More entertainment news, names, notes, what's trending this morning. And here is Jason Nathanson.
It's my duty to protect my family.
A major movie move for Disney, skipping theaters with one of its big releases. After several delays because of the COVID-19 pandemic, Mulan will be available on the streaming service Disney Plus September 4th. But you're going to have to pay extra for it. Unlike Hamilton, which was included in the monthly Disney Plus fee, Mulan will cost you $30 to rent. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. Ellen DeGeneres getting some support from famous friends. Kevin Hart writes on Instagram that Ellen is one of the dopest people on the planet and has treated his family and team with love and respect from day one. Katy Perry writes on Twitter that Ellen has always fought for equality. DeGeneres has been under fire over reports that the work environment on her daytime talk show is toxic. Another 80s sitcom making a comeback, a revival of Who's the Boss in the works with original stars Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano. And Brady Bunch star Maureen McCormick is 64 today. Jason Nathanson, ABC.
We try every week to focus on a featured furry friend that does need a home over at the Cleveland APL. Faith, good morning.
Good morning.
One of the animals we want to talk about this morning, you can see at WTAM.com, keyword APL. It is a cat. It is Lieutenant Dan from the movie, right?
Exactly. And Lieutenant Dan has that name for exactly the reason why you think. He is missing one of his legs. Lieutenant Dan, I call these creamsicle cats, orange and white, very handsome cat. He's only about 4 years old. He was found by a Good Samaritan in their driveway and had a very large wound in his leg, very damaged leg. So this wonderful person brought Lieutenant Dan to the APL, and they tried to treat his leg, but it was too damaged. So they did have to amputate the leg.
Okay.
Animals, when these kind of things happen, they bounce back amazingly, and Lieutenant Dan is absolutely one of those animals. He was sent to a foster home to recuperate from his surgery, and thanks to that foster family, we know a lot about him. That's kind of one of those great things about fostering. You can tell potential adopters a lot about the animal, and we know that this amputation has not slowed him down at all. He walks fine, he runs, he climbs stairs. He can use his litter box, no problem. He can groom himself, no problem. So it's, you know, almost like that injury never even happened. Very energetic, very playful, but also very cuddly. He likes to curl up with you, you know, at the end of the day. So kind of one of those great companion animals. We do know that Lieutenant Dan is FIV positive. So that means, you know, his immune system has some problems. But again, you know, we've talked about this a lot with cats. Keep up with the vet visits, keep them healthy, good food, and you know, it's not going to be a problem. He's going to live a very, very long and healthy life. Now, what they do know about Lieutenant Dan, thanks to the foster family, again, is he is probably going to do best as an only cat, and not because of the FIV, because he's a little bit of a bully with the other cats that were in the foster family. So, just, you know, he wants to be solo. He wants all of your love and attention. So WTAM.com, keyword APL, and I will have a link there to the adoption application because, again, no members of the public are allowed in the shelter yet. So I will link the adoption application and his ID number that you will need to apply for him if you are interested. And what I'm also going to do is since it's such a great example of what fostering can do, I will put a link if you're interested in fostering because they do.
Oh,
they always need fosters, even more now that, you know, staff is less, there's no volunteers there. So they're trying to get as many animals into foster homes as possible just for that little bit of extra care and attention. So WTAM.com, keyword APL, all the information on Lieutenant Dan and a link to fostering if you're interested.
Fantastic. It's all up there. WTAM.com, keyword APL. Faith Nezovich. Faith, thanks much.
And now, 5 good minutes.
There is a careful little dance going back and forth between the employer and the employee right now when it comes to COVID and getting you back in the workplace. Our business insider, Greg Stebbin, joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Trying to break this down a little bit and what we're all living through and feeling this morning and the challenge. If you're a business owner or manager and you want your employee to get back to work and they don't want to come in, what happens next? Greg, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm glad you called it a dance because I've been talking to people on both sides of this, you know, the business owner or the manager. But also, I know people who were concerned about going back to work, so they would be called a reluctant employee. And I, first of all, I found an article that I highly recommend, and I will put it out on Twitter when we're done talking. It's called Five Things to Consider if an Employee Refuses to Return to Work. It's by an attorney. It's at law.com. And I think whether you're an employee or the manager or the business owner, you really want to read this to understand what your rights are, and it's complicated, boy. When you read this, the thing you realize is there's landmines all over the place for everybody on this. But you also want to read it because it makes you realize one of the best things you can do, no matter which side of this you're on, is to engage in conversation with the other person to understand what their issues are and to understand, is this a legitimate issue? Is this a legitimate concern? Is this person or this company trying to do the best they can in a very difficult situation, or are they just being difficult? Because you want to handle difficult versus stuck in a tough spot differently, and there's a lot of ways to mess up on this, and nobody wants to do that.
I heard somebody say a while back, we're doing work from home. We got to figure out how to do home from work in trying to get people back, because you've got families, you're managing kids and that sort of thing. But look, at the end of the day, your employer is paying you to do a job. Now, and this dance, as you say, you know, some are going back to the office, some aren't, and some at the office are looking around going, well, why am I here? But the business manager, the employer, is trying to get everybody back in, maybe.
Well, right. And don't forget, there's some people who are at home who want to go to work. So some companies had to choose, these people come back to work, and we're not ready to bring the rest of the company back. And if you own the company, how do you decide who gets to come back to work and who has to stay home? And those are tough decisions, and you definitely want to make sure whatever decisions you're making as a company that you can back up rationally so that no one can accuse you of playing favoritism or discrimination or any other things. There are so many landmines here from an HR perspective. And look, before COVID, HR was already full of landmines for employers. I mean, all kinds of ways you could get in trouble. COVID just made it that much more complicated.
Business insider Greg Stebbin with me. We've talked about employers a lot. Let's spend a minute or two on the worker, the employee. If someone is really afraid to go back to work, do they have rights with all this?
Well, they do. And you know, first of all, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not trying to represent myself as one. I think reading this article will help you understand what your rights might and might not be. So let's just say I'm afraid, versus I have a health condition that gives me valid reasons to be concerned. What are your rights in those two cases? You really need to do some self-evaluation about, is this a legitimate concern? What are the risks at work? What are your health risks? You need to evaluate that. You also need to realize, you know, we're all making choices here. Your employer is making choices about what they cannot do to keep the business open. And you need to almost think of yourself as like a business. Maybe this isn't the right job for me anymore.
Right.
Maybe I need to go find a different job that works for the kind of setup or circumstances that I think are appropriate for me. I think reconsidering your employment is one of the most important things that employees can do, because if your company goes out of business because no one wants to go back to work, that doesn't help anybody either. Everybody's got to understand the side or the circumstances of the other party.
It's a good read. Greg, follow him on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. He'll tweet out the link on the piece. Bottom line is, you know, this can be serious. Maybe down the road you feel like you're held back for a promotion or something because, oh, you remember, he wouldn't come into work during the COVID thing. Let's hold him or her back. I mean, you could maybe get an attorney involved in a level of this then, right?
Well, so first of all, this was written by an attorney, and I'm sure one of the reasons she wrote it is she's looking for clients and showing off her expertise.
Right.
But nobody wants to hire an attorney, right? If you can work this out without an attorney, everybody's better off. And I think ultimately reading this article may help you understand how to engage in dialogue with the employee or with your company to try to find the best possible outcome.
It's at law.com, but Greg will tweet out the link. I'll retweet it to Greg Stebbin, our business insider. Follow him on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. Good info as always. Thanks much.
You bet. It's great to be here.
Hey, speaking of business, now that I... News Radio WTAM 1100, this is Bill Wills. We've been following these negotiations between the White House, the Senate, and the House, and everybody on another round of stimulus. Melanie Ross checks in at NCA Financial Planners this morning. A lot of people have been looking at this in different ways when it comes to what will be up next from D.C. Melanie, they have spent a lot of money here this year trying to help out people with this affected by the pandemic, right?
Oh, absolutely, and there's more to come.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay, a couple of things to think about this morning. Not sure what the final version is going to be, but take me through this a little bit. From what we know now, the House plan versus what we see in the Senate.
Right. So in May, the House passed the HEROES Act. At the end of July, the Senate passed the HEALS Act. So now we have both bodies trying to conference together and reconcile these two bills. But they only have until August 7th to do it, because after that, Congress starts summer recess and doesn't return until after Labor Day. So we'll see what happens.
A lot of levels of this. Let's talk about direct payments first.
Yes.
Early in the pandemic, it was, you know, there's so much from state unemployment, but the federal government came in and added to that as well, right?
Right. So both bills contain a second round of stimulus checks. And according to the Treasury Secretary, the next payment is going to be $1,200 with the same stipulations as the first round. So individuals making $75,000 or less will receive $1,200. Those making more than $75,000 will receive some type of stimulus, but it's not going to be for the full amount. And then those making over $100,000 won't qualify.
And along with those direct payments, again, these unemployment benefits, the whole debate about how much and how long to extend, right?
Right. And so, you know, included in the CARES Act was an extra $600 a week that was over and above the unemployment benefit paid at the state level. And that expired at the end of July. This is expected, Bill, to be extended in the new bill, but it's still, like you said, unclear if it'll stay at 600 or if it'll be reduced to a lower rate.
Melanie Ross at NC Financial Planners going back and forth on what we know now between these two bills as far as the negotiations in Washington. Nothing done yet. I tell you, another sector is schools. We've had Eric Gordon on with me many times, head of the Cleveland schools. The federal government, he and so many are asking for some more help.
Right. And, you know, schools will definitely get financial support in this next round because, again, both bills include funding for schools to help them prepare as they, you know, open this fall for both in-person and remote learning.
And testing as well, you think, a part of this?
Oh, this is a big deal. This you know, new relief package is expected to have additional funding to cover testing and contact tracing, no doubt.
Melanie Ross, NCA Financial Planners, watching what they're talking about in D.C. We'll see what they finally agree on, because the clock is ticking for vacation, because they want to get out of there. Melanie Ross. Melanie, thanks much. You told him to call back?
Yes, I
Scott
did.
Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire alongside. He does a really great job producing the show and lining up guests and things.
Yes, he
you
does.
Know, like, we've had, you know, presidents on and senators, yep. And, you know, we're always honored.
Actors,
to have
you know.
On. Tom Hamilton at 8:45, you know.
Yeah,
so,
oh, yeah.
Reverend Bob Steck, the father at St. Ambrose Parish in Brunswick. A beautiful parish there. They've done a remodel.
Been in there many times.
Added a lot of
yes.
Room to it. He has really been the driving force behind the fest, and it's the 20th year this year. It's Northeast Ohio's largest outdoor Christian music family festival, draws thousands each August. Got to do it virtually this year, and so Father Bob, Reverend Steck, kind enough to join me here to talk about this. So he just got on the phone. Scooter says, call back. You told a priest to call back. He's busy.
Well,
we could have done it right now.
Call back.
How many people tell a priest to call back?
Because it.
I mean, come on.
The time
I'm not
was,
even Catholic, and
the
I know
time
that's
was 7 minutes later. Okay, I didn't
even.
Want him to wait
you're
on
getting,
hold.
You're getting even with them nuns all in years
no,
growing up, aren't you?
No,
you only
no.
wanted to tell a priest to call back. Not yet. Call.
I
back.
Don't want him to wait
you
on hold.
Early. He called too early.
Yeah. Right, he did.
I mean,
he called.
Busy.
Well, he
called. He's doing the Lord's work, and you're like, call back. Is
call
that
back.
What? Sitting there for 5 minutes.
Well, Mass doesn't start till 8:30, so you know he's all right. You know he's all right. He's got time.
And he's got time.
And you know that because you were an altar boy.
I was an altar boy. Yeah. Don't worry,
all
you
right.
got time.
Well, hopefully Reverend Bob Steck will call us back, and we'll. I, that's embarrassing.
I
see
will.
Now when he calls, I'm going to feel bad. Like he's. You got time for me now?
No.
The situations you put us in.
Yeah.
I'm not even Catholic, and I feel bad.
Well, he'll make you say two Hail Marys and an Our Father and a Glory Be, and we'll call it even.
Let's get to sports from the Union Home. Typical, yeah, and put another 20 in the plate, right? That's what you'd say. Yeah, typical Scooter. Yeah, typical Scooter. All right. I just can't believe it.
It's amazing.
I told you to call back. Yeah. Gee, many Christmas. From the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk, Mike Snyder.
I believe that.
Well, News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. I do apologize. I'm a bit embarrassed. I've had a chance to introduce this gentleman a couple of times at some different events. He's always been very kind to me. Father Bob Steck, who is the founder of the Fest, he has the flock at St. Ambrose Parish in Brunswick. This is Bill Wills. And, Reverend, I do apologize, because I just can't believe Scooter. He wants to play the I'm the altar boy card and put you on. He told you to call back, and I just want to apologize, first of all.
No, it's any way it goes, Bill, it's good to be with you this morning. I'm happy to call back so we have a good chance to talk together.
Good to be with you, sir. I appreciate it. Now, let's talk about the Fest. First of all, I cannot believe 20 years this has gone on, and you're humble, but you have been the driving force behind this.
There's such a great team of people that work together to create a great day of faith, family, and fun. And yes, it's shocking. It went from 1,000 people 20 years ago to, had we come together in person this year, we would add about 45,000, 50,000 people together.
It is amazing the artists that you have been able to attract to this, who have wanted to be a part of this because they have heard about it in their circles. And it's just amazing. We know about the pandemic, what we're dealing with. You obviously had to make the decision to do it virtually, right?
So there's a couple pieces to this, Bill. So we knew this was not the year to not do the Fest, because it really brings people, they really make this like their spiritual retreat day each year for themselves and their family. So this was not the year to not do it. So we had to find a way. And you talk about God blessing the effort. You know, to your point, nine of the top bands reached out to us and said, we want to jump on this train. We want to, it's kind of like a We Are the World moment, actually. So nine of the best Christian artists coming together, offering stories, unique material, messages of hope and inspiration to lift all of our spirits in what has been a very difficult time.
This event over the years has attracted thousands. So how do you get involved? How do we do it this year, Reverend?
So the best thing everybody can do is go to the Fest website. That's thefest.us, and you'll see everything from the schedule for Casting Crowns for King and Country, Matthew West. You'll see the schedule of artists. But while you're there, you'll also see all the things that people have come to enjoy on Fest Day. Great displays, information, you know, resources to strengthen the bonds of their family. So you literally go to the website. The main page becomes like the big stage, if you will. But then there's also a website inside the site, so you can go visit different activities and the craft kits for kids. And God bless our friends from Mark's. While you're there, you can sign up moms, dads. There's great giveaways. All you got to do is register and go through the site, and you can win great gift baskets. You can have a glorious day, amazing music, messages of hope, and all do it from the comfort and the safety of your home.
Over the years, the festival grounds in Wycliffe have been just filled with people, so we're doing it virtually. And really, you know, in a way, and it's interesting, during this pandemic, and I want to ask you about that in just a second, but during this, we've had so many amazing performances and so many great connections, really around the world, where people maybe will enjoy this that didn't have a chance to come to Wycliffe in the past, you know?
Absolutely, Bill, and we're already seeing it. So I tell everybody, this year, the Fest has always been free, great to amazing sponsors and friends, right? But this year, everybody can invite everybody in the world, you know, to find hope and inspiration, listen to great music. And although you're not going to be physically together, although hundreds of people are doing watch parties for their families, but you can literally invite everybody you know to find hope and help and inspiration. And again, what has been a very difficult year.
Danny Gokey, Matthew West for King and Country, Casting Crowns, so many. The Fest at Home, The Fest at Home. Find out more, do the search. There are different sites and different social media handles to get a hold of this. Father Bob Steck with me, pastor St. Ambrose Parish in Brunswick. Congratulations, by the way, the addition. I know it's been a couple of years, but my goodness, how that you know, the building has grown there, sir.
We have an amazing community down here at St. Ambrose doing great work, and the buildings are just a glimpse of the really good people here. Just a silly example, yesterday we're passing out food to 200 families in Cleveland while we're passing out food to 75 families here in Brunswick while we're collecting school supplies for kids down at St. Rocco's. So wonderful, wonderful people. I know you live in the area here, Bill.
Sure.
amazing, good, family-minded people down here. Beautiful, wonderful community.
Let me get you out of here on what we're all dealing with, sir. You and I share a faith. I am not Catholic. We may have different ways of getting there. But let's put that aside for just a second. I am sure that you have struggled in dealing and explaining and trying to answer questions. So many people are feeling worried, feeling frustrated right now, Reverend.
So that's a big part of why, one, we renovated the church, and two, we're doing the fest, because we need God. We need to be that beacon of light and hope. And when we walk together, our future is full of hope. That's what the prophet Jeremiah said to us thousands of years ago, that when we walk with the Lord, no matter what we're going through, God's plan for us is a future full of hope. And that's what we want to communicate every day. And that's certainly what we want to communicate on Fest Day. All through the Fest Day, you're going to see stories of hope, wonderful people doing great things to bring care and light and love and hope to every sister and brother in need. And that's what we need to do for each other. And the more we do that for each other, the more the good God will take care of us and be that light and love and hope for each of us.
Well said, sir. Reverend Bob Steck at the St. Ambrose Parish of Brunswick. Again, the fest happening virtually, but connecting in so many ways this year. The Fest at Home. Sir, I appreciate your time. And again, sorry Scooter put you on hold. I know you're busy, but I'm glad we got a chance to chat, okay?
God bless you, Bill. Thank you so much.
All the best. 828 Indians 4-2 win coming up in sports. This is Bill Wills. First, can you get some Clorox wipes? Ryan Burrow joins me on the street. I just tweeted a picture. I do have a thing of these Clorox wipes in the studio. So I tweeted a picture. You join me now to talk about why we can't find these at the store. I got people tweeting me back wanting to buy them now.
There you go. I mean, this is your chance. What do you think? $10 a wipe? You think that'll work?
You know,
I guess by the time they get it, it would be dry and probably ineffective.
Yeah,
right?
Shipping charges and everything else. Tell me, first of all, I had no idea Clorox controls like what, almost 50% of this industry.
Yeah, and obviously it's become, put in the spotlights because of this pandemic. Now, look, you can go out there and get at a dollar store some kind of cheap knockoff, but it doesn't have the same chemicals that would kill as well as Clorox. So even the CDC is putting out notes and lists of certain products that might be on there that may not be as effective as Clorox and Lysol and some of these other disinfectants that we've known about in the United States for a long time. All right, here's the deal. The Clorox CEO came out yesterday and said he did not think that they would be able to meet demand until 2021. They're still churning out Clorox wipes, and they're doing it at a very rapid pace, but it's just not keeping up with how much we're using it. They're running manufacturing 24/7. They've added 10 new suppliers. Supply has been an issue because the products require packaging. They require plastic containers. They require various chemicals. And part of that chain has occasionally been broken during this pandemic. Many of these products coming from China. And
Wait a minute.
Here we go.
The supply chain includes China on the Clorox wipes that I need because of this virus?
It does. Now, they've added 10 new suppliers, and they're trying to supplement as best they can, but, the chain that they were aware of and using pre-pandemic has been altered, and part of that is due to lack of ability of getting supplies from China.
Ryan Burrow on it this morning. All right, Ryan, thanks much.
Thank you.
I saw on Amazon.com, I was looking up an ad for they had Clorox wipes, and I think it was 37 cents a wipe. In other words, have you seen some of those?
Yeah, right.
But they're pricing them. I looked at, I go, man, let's order these. Now, wait a minute. That looks like for 75 of them.
Yeah.
And then they got the little thing and their little disclaimer is like 37 cents per wipe.
Wow.
For those things.
And they're going to be you can't even buy them, right?
No, it's going to be a while. But Ryan said,
they can't make them fast enough.
Tweeted a picture. I got people asking me to buy them. 1100, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Hammy on a 4-2 win. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
How about that Brad Hand? Let's not trade him yet, Tom. He's okay, I think.
How many times have we heard Tito say, you can't run away from these guys, because if you do that, you won't have anybody left on the team after one or two bad outings. So,
right.
Yeah, he threw the ball really well, didn't he? I mean, Karinchak got the huge strikeout in the eighth inning, and then, Brad Hand, that looked like Brad Hand that we saw last year prior to the All-Star break. He was 93 miles an hour with that last fastball to end the game. got ahead in the count. Sandy talked about that on the pregame show, that for Brad Hand, he just needs to work ahead in the count. That way the hitter then usually will chase his slider. But if he's behind in the count, the hitter's not chasing that slider, and that just kind of changes everything. It's amazing the difference when the count's 0-1 as compared to 1-0.
And Tom, the Tribe getting the big hit. Kind of interesting. Sandy said that he actually had gone to Franmil Reyes and said maybe he had to take a night off because he'd been struggling. Franmil says, no, keep me in there. And it worked out. Boy, he needed that, sort of the team, didn't it?
Yeah, because he's a game changer, Mike. I mean, he's that one guy in your lineup that can turn around a game with one swing of the bat. And we saw it, obviously, last night with the two-run home run to win the ball game. You know, and Sandy had said, too, on the pregame show, to, you know, try to just keep things simple, guys. And when he would struggle, he would try to remove all movement from his swing, just kind of use his hands, almost a two-strike approach. And Reyes was much quieter at the plate. It's just, you know, what are we, 12 games in, although that's 20% of the season. And, you know, it just seems like everything is magnified. And also there's such a sense of urgency when you're 12 games in and you're 20% done.
You know, Tom, they only had three hits, but they did hit the ball well yesterday, I thought. But maybe there's a sign they're coming out of this thing. What do you think?
I hope so, Mike. I think one of the things, kind of what you're talking about, where they hit the ball well, they hit line drives the other way. You know, instead of everybody just kind of trying to hit a five-run home run, just kind of get back, simplify things, take the ball back up the middle, try to string some hits together. It just seems like guys have tried to do too much. I think that's kind of natural, whether your start of the season is July or whether it's March like it was supposed to be. Everybody presses to get off to a great start, and sometimes it compounds itself.
We were hoping for Bauer versus Clevenger tonight.
Yeah.
That didn't work out, did it?
No.
Well, I think he has a campaign meeting. Did you see him wearing his T-shirt, Bauer for commissioner?
Yes. He'll meet with his constituents tonight.
Seems like every month I change opinion on him. I just, you know, he just...
Isn't that funny?
Do you agree? You know what I mean?
It's like, there are sometimes, Bill, where he's got you just screaming like, just stop it. And then there are other times you're like, you know what, he's really good for the game.
Yeah, good stuff. Tom Hamilton, he and Rosie with a call tonight. First pitch 7:10 here, right?
Yes. Tonight 7:10, tomorrow night 6:10. Four games with the Reds, four different starting times.
Got to be careful. If you're scoring at home, make sure you make a note of the time for the start. All right, Tom Hamilton. Thanks
Tommy.
Be good.
Thanks, Gaddy.
All right, buddy, Tom Hamilton. Rosie, this time tomorrow morning. Yeah. Did you see Roger Penske reversed and no fans now in the stands for the Indianapolis 500? The 104th running of the Indy 500 later this month, NBC says for the first time ever, the Indy 500 will not allow fans. If you can't social distance at that place.
Yeah, that is massive, though.
I mean,
right?
I don't know, what's it hold, 100,000? I mean, couldn't you have sold 20,000 seats or 20,000 people? But they're still not going to have fans there either for the Indianapolis 500.
Well, you know, there's a lot of details still, even when you know, keeping people apart, if you say that, it's just... unending all of this.
Tickets for this year's Indy 500, you get a credit to next year's race if you want to have those. They broadcast the qualifying poll day Saturday, August 15th. Your buddy, Roger Penske, who...
Yes. We
were in the lobby of a hotel in Detroit years
ago.
The
old Townsend.
Mike and I were there doing the show.
Yep.
One way to town. The old Townsend Hotel.
Yeah,
look that place up.
Yes.
You want to stay there. We go down for breakfast. No, we weren't. We couldn't even afford to eat there.
We didn't eat there. We were walking to the lobby to go down to McDonald's. We were going outside, right?
And I look over and I'm like, it's Roger Penske. Yeah,
that just...
He's standing in line. That resonated with you, didn't it? That's all you need to know.
When you do that...
If Roger Penske's in line for coffee, I can't afford this place. But he looked like a nice fellow. Yeah. Roger Penske, yeah. Of course, Snyder, he stayed in at breakfast because he was on the expense account. I had to go down the street to McDonald's. Me and Joe Tate, you know. Yeah. Snyder had the money. Traffic... Geraldo in Cleveland up next. Trevisano after 3. This is Bill Wills. Thanks for being there. Have a great day. Back in the morning, news, sports, traffic, and weather together on the 10s. Mike Sports at 15 and 45 past. And at 8:20, there's a... you a Browns fan? You like wine? There's a Browns-themed wine we'll tell you about tomorrow morning. WTAM 1100. If you're on Twitter, connect at Bill Wills, WTAM.